Okay, our first prayer request is for Pastor Chris Ogden. He has a doctor's appointment today. We are putting ourselves in agreement with him for answers and complete healing. And then the second prayer request is pray for Joe Thompson of Burns Flat, who is in Mercy Hospital with some blockage issues with circulation in his stomach area.
Okay.
And that's what we have so far.
All right. So, Father, I want to lift up before you these two requests, and I pray for Chris Ogden as he has his doctor's appointment. I don't know what all's going on there physically in his life, but, Father, I'm thankful that I don't have to know. I'm glad that you know everything that's going on. You know the physical problems that are there. You know what needs to take place. And Father, we thank you that you've given wisdom to our doctors and to our healthcare providers, and that you help them to provide healing for us in our lives. But Lord, we know ultimately healing comes from you. And so we lift up Pastor Chris before you, and we're asking that you would just bring that ultimate healing that he needs. Miraculously through doctors, Lord, it's all you who is bringing that healing. And so, Father, I just pray as he's there today, answers will come. Answer maybe that he's been healed of whatever it is. Answer that, yes, this is what it is. We're able to treat this. But, Lord, you're still the one who's able to provide that healing. And so, Lord, we're just lifting him into your care and keeping, asking for your healing for him in his life. We also pray for this Joe Thompson of Burns Flat, and Lord, I've never actually met this man, but I've heard so much about him, and so I ask that you would be with him, and see he's in the hospital and has some blockage, and that you would be with him as he has his issues with the circulation in the stomach area. Whatever is causing that blockage, Lord, just remove it. Just take care of it. I pray that you will guide those who are caring for him, and that they will provide for him the best care possible. But again, Father, we know healing is in your hands. And so we are leaving him into your care and keeping, praying that you would just bring the relief that's needed, that the healing that you have for him would become evident, and that you would receive the praise and the glory for what is happening and what is going to happen. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Joshua's Crossing Ministries, located here in Elk City, is one of our sponsors. The Refuge Church, located at 18304 East 1140 Road in Sayre, Oklahoma. They are in the New Liberty Church now. Pastor Powerhouse Tammy Bailey will bless you. And then Crosscut Creations by our own Pastor Joe Thompson. If you would like some custom designs in wood, you can contact Pastor Joe at 580-243-8635. Just wait till after the program, please. And thank you. And then PVM Ministries, located here in Elk City at 616 North Locust Avenue. Apostle Casey Elliott is an awesome man of God. Stay tuned, y'all. Don't go away. We will be right back.
Hello, this is Rick Spain with Spain's Construction with something to think about. Guidelines are principles and rules that you live by. They're based on standards bigger than you. They were established before you and will continue after you. They are not controlled by what you do, but directly connected to why you do. They may seem to be a limit to your life, but are proven by the life that follows. Why you do is much more important than what you do.
When life changes, you have to adjust, like downsizing your household or selling a business. When we had to do that, we called Grant's Auction and Realty. Our family has used them for two estate sales. Mike and Cindy Grant are really organized, and they lot and catalog every item. If you're a seller, that gets you top dollar on your items. And if you're a buyer, catalog items let you study what you want and know about when they'll sell. When that time comes in your life, call Grant's Auction and Realty, 580-225-0269.
From all of us here at PK & Company, great job, Barbara Dyson Ford, on your fifth President's Award. Thank you for your loyalty to our community.
This is Curtis Hutchinson. All of us here at Hutchinson Oil congratulate Barbara Dyson on your fifth President's Award. You deserve it.
Chad Smith here with Smith Ag. Congrats to Barbara Dyson on your fifth President's Award for your amazing customer service.
We want to thank all of you, our customers, as we celebrate this prestigious award. Come experience the difference at Barbara Dyson Ford and check us out at BarbaraDysonFord.net. Let us pray.
It's not time for the ending yet, y'all. You are tuned into the Hour of Power this morning. I'm your host, Monica Lovell. Our guest for today is Pastor Joe Thompson. His title for this morning is A Song of Praise. Back to you, sir.
All right. Well, we've been talking about praise and everything that praise does for us, and recognizing that it celebrates God's work, and also understanding that praise is a good thing for us to be doing in our hearts and our lives. Another thing that praise does, and I think this is highly important, praise lifts us above our critics. Verses 9 through 11 says, "For surely your enemies, Lord, surely your enemies will perish. All evildoers will be scattered. You have exalted my horn like that of a wild ox. Fine oils have been poured on me. My eyes have seen the defeat of my adversary. My ears have heard the rout of my wicked foes." And what these verses are saying to us, first of all, is that praise recognizes God takes care of those who oppose us. You know, we want to get even. We want to do our part in helping God out here. But when God's enemies are against us, then God takes care of them. Says that when God's enemies perish and evildoers are scattered, then our enemies and evildoers are scattered as well and perish. And ultimately, we will see those who oppose us go down in ultimate defeat, because we're not trying to take care of the situation. We allow God. And we'll hear the cries of those who are against God. Have you ever noticed that when righteousness begins to win, that the wicked seem to holler louder? And it's because the wicked no longer have control over the things that they once had. They were enjoying their evil. They were enjoying doing the things that they thought brought them pleasure. And to be honest with you, probably did bring them pleasure to a degree for a while. But it's only for a while. Everything we try away from God may bring temporary pleasure, but we soon find that the vices are greater than the pleasure. And so you see people moving from one thing to the next, looking for something that satisfies, and that's only found in God. But they can no longer control that, and so they begin to holler. They begin to say, you know, well, we need to do this, and you need to allow us to do this and this and this, and you name it, from gender confusion to lesbian, homosexual, whatever, it's there. It's just interesting that, you know, whenever righteousness reigns, those who are against it begin to complain. But we need to understand that God's going to take care of that in the end. But also we see that praise lifts us up into God's presence. And it blesses us in verse 10. It says, "Here you exalted my horn like that of a wild ox." And a horn in the Old Testament was a symbol of power. You see that various times throughout the Old Testament. And the horn of an ox, wild ox, was used to gain power and go up against whatever opposed it in the field. Something was attacking it, it would use its horn. If another bull was fighting for territory, used its horn to defend itself. And so the idea here is he's the writer's giving us a symbol of authority that God gives to us. We have an influence because of the difference that God has made in our lives. We have that power. We have that horn, so to speak. But it only is when we praise God. A weapon is of no use unless it's used.
Come on.
And so praise is our primary weapon, not our only weapon, as far as against others. Now, our primary weapon is God and the Word of God. Don't get me wrong here. But when it comes against other, praise, celebrating what God has done, our testimony. I tell people, your story. Mm-hmm. Tell what God has done. Because your story is probably the most powerful thing you can do. Because they can deny a lot of things, but they cannot deny your story. As a matter of fact, that's what the whole Bible is. It's God's story working for us and God's story working in us. So tell your story and then tell it with a perspective from the Bible of what God has done. You know, use Scripture. It's ultimately the Word of God that will change. But if we just give them the Word of God and tell them, you know, read this, without understanding the change that's made in us, it's not as effective sometimes. Now, don't get me wrong. I know people who've read the Gideon Bible and never read it before, you know, and became Christ followers, Christians. But it's important that we tell our story, that we praise God publicly. And so the critics may come against us, but in the end, we're the ones who are lifted up because we're giving praise to God for what he's doing. And ultimately, it's not our critics who we need to please. It's God who we need to please. Amen. Then he goes on and talks about the fine oils. And the oils in the Old Testament were used to provide a sweet-smelling fragrance and healing. And God pours his fine oil on us when critics wound us, and his final will bring healing to us. And ultimately, that's another advantage of praise, is that we're able to find that healing that we're looking at. We're able to celebrate what God has done. But not only that, the fragrance of the oil draws others to us, so to speak, and to God. And ultimately, it brings them into a right relationship with God, or hopefully, it at least points them towards a right relationship with God. And so the critics may try to trample us in the manure, but we come out smelling like a rose.
Come on.
Well, oftentimes they wind up smelling like manure. let's just be honest here, if I'm going to use that illustration. And so we need to understand that. And then praise causes us to flourish in God's presence. Verse 12, the righteous will flourish like a palm tree. They will grow like a cedar of Lebanon, planted in the house of the Lord. They will flourish in the courts of our God. They will bear fruit in old age. They will stay fresh and calm, proclaiming, the Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no wickedness in him. And so verses 12 and 13 points out that we will receive God's blessings whenever we praise. The palm tree and the cedar that's talking about here is showing God's blessings. The palm tree is an evergreen and produces fruit, produces palms, palm dates. The cedar's tall and it's stately and it's admired for its strength. And the psalmist is pointing out here that we will ultimately be fruitful and we will be stately. And we need to understand that as we live our lives, that we're to be fruitful and stately. Sometimes we're neither one. But that's because we're not living the way God wants us to necessarily, and we're not praising God. Praise automatically will draw people to God. But not only that, but we're to be fruitful to the end. We're to bear fruit in our old age. And palm trees live a long, long time. And the thing about a palm tree is some trees, as they age, they begin to decrease in the amount of fruit they produce. But a palm tree produces fruit its whole life. And so we are to bear fruit as long as we live. It really bugs me when someone says, I've done my part. Let someone else do it. And I say, no, God calls us to serve until the end. And nobody's done it yet, but I challenge people. I say, I dare you to show me the word retirement in the Bible where it's talking about retiring from being in service to God. I say, your roles may change and probably are going to change as you age. I mean, there's just some factors in life. You can't do at 80 what you did at 20. But you are still called to be a productive person in the kingdom of God. And you're still called to bear fruit. So don't come up to me with that line of let somebody else do it if this is still what God is wanting you to do. Understand that and be fruitful. We also stay fresh and green. And the reason that some people become old and cranky is because they forget to praise God. You know what? If you live long enough, you don't have a choice about becoming old. I'm getting there. But you don't have to become cranky. The thing is to continue to praise God, continue to lift his name up. Praise may not keep your body from aging, but it can sure keep your soul from aging. And so we need to remember that throughout all of our lives. And so thinking back to this psalm and what the psalmist is saying to us, maybe we need to ask ourselves some questions. First question is, how often do I praise God? Am I only praising God on Sundays, maybe Wednesday nights or whatever? Or is it a regular routine in my life? Is it something that I'm doing day in and day out? And if I'm not doing it, what do I need to do to make it a regular routine? Because if you set aside time to praise God at particular times of the day, it begins to set a pattern in your life. And before long, you will find that you can praise God all day long because you see God working in all sorts of situations. And so if you're not doing that, begin by setting aside particular times to praise God, and then you'll find that that will evolve into just praising God throughout the day. How often do I praise God? A second question is, what can I praise God for? You got to have something to praise, right? Praise him for. What am I focused on? Am I focused on my needs, or am I focused on the fact that he's my provider? And if we're focusing on our needs, we're worried about it. If we're focusing upon the fact that he's our provider, it changes our whole outlook. And we begin to praise God for the provision even before we receive it. So it makes a huge difference. And there's always something you can praise God for. And so begin looking for those things. If you need something to praise God for, praise him that you woke up this morning. Praise him that you're able to take this breath. Look for things. And then a third question would be is how will I flourish into old age? What do I need to focus on that will bring God praise? And we need to understand that as we go through life, and I mentioned this, our roles are going to change. Sometimes those roles change because we don't have any choice in the matter. because maybe physical things happen, what have you. But we need to focus on how am I going to continue to serve God? How am I going to continue to praise God in my old age and make those plans? Understanding that God may change those plans, but at least we have some goals out there that we can continue to praise God through our lives. When I retire from full-time pastoring, I don't plan to just sit in a pew somewhere and do nothing. God called me to minister. So whether it's preaching, teaching a Sunday school lesson, going to visit people, whatever. I'm open to that. And we all need to do that, no matter what our occupation is now, understanding that God wants us to continue to be productive throughout our life. We need to remember that praise brings freedom. Willie Myrick was set free because he was praising the Lord in the back seat of this Honda Civic. He sang every praise is to our God for 3 hours. And we need to understand that when you're facing difficulty, praise God anyway. Be a Willie Myrick. Be a Paul and Silas in the prison. Because when you're facing difficulty in your praise, it takes your mind off the difficulty, and it focuses your mind on the deliverer. And so that's highly important for us to remember and to understand. And praise celebrates what God's doing in our life. It encourages others to join us in the celebration and to celebrate what God is doing in their life. And so never underestimate the power of praise, not only for you, but what it can do for others. It encourages them to praise. Remember, ultimately, praise comes from our hearts and from our lives. But sometimes people do need that encouragement. That's the reason why I said earlier, if it's purely emotion, you need to question it. But worship leaders, pastors can help to encourage that praise. And it helps people to realize, I do have things to praise the Lord for. So celebrate what God is doing in your life, and it will encourage others, and it will help them to be people of praise as well. And then also remember, praise keeps you young. I'm not talking about physically. It will not keep your body from growing old. It might help. I will say it might help, because if you're praising God, then you're doing right things. God is working in your life. And I've seen people who have lived a rough life my age, and they look like they're 80. One time I went back home to a funeral, and there was a lady that was there, and this was when I was still in my late 30s. She's a year older than me, and she walked up to me, and I didn't recognize her. She looked like she was 60. Thankfully, she's a Christ follower now, but she had lived rough for about 20 years, 15 years, 20 years. And it took it toll, so praise and what may help you, probably will help you, but it's not going to keep you ultimately from aging. We're all going to grow old in this body, but we can remain young at heart. We can remain young and fresh in the Lord. And because you're celebrating the one who has given you eternal life. You're celebrating the one who's made a difference in your life. So don't forget to praise. Take time every day to say thank you, Lord, and to praise him in your life. And this is one thing I can guarantee you. If you learn to praise God every day through the day, it will make a total difference in your day and in your life. So wherever you're at, praise God today.
Amen. I want to share a little testimony. I want to be transparent. When my husband died and then my daughter died, my focus became on what I lost. I lost my best friends. I lost my husband, and then my daughter became my best friend, you know?
Right.
That communion, that daily stuff, you know? And when my focus fixed on what I have lost, and then my mind began to go to, what are you going to do now? How are you, you know? And then the Lord so sweetly, hey, Monica. Monica. Hey, child. And then I remember going back to church. I mean, my focus was so fixed on what I lost, I spiraled down bad. I mean, I got back into IV drugs, drinking, I mean, hardcore partying. And I went back to church, and my focus began to change back on God. And then the Lord told me one day, I was downstairs cooking at the church for the youth. And the Lord so sweetly said, start praising me for the time that you had and the blessing of those relationships. Begin to look for me. Mm-hmm. In both of those relationships. And then I want you to put me in the place. I want to take the place of those that are with me now. And I began to do that. And I mean, when I first started going back to church and started coming here, I was on the brink of death, physically, spiritually, emotionally. But God is so faithful. If we will just change our focus and look for the wonderful things that He has bestowed on us and has blessed us with. Mark, my husband, I had been in several very bad relationships to the point of being locked in a room and having to use the bathroom in a bucket until they came home and took the lock off the door to let me out of the room. The Lord showed me through Mark that's not the kind of love He had for me. And He showed me through Mark that I was to be cherished and not abused. And it's taken me it took me a while to get there. And every now and then, the enemy tries to take my focus away from what my God has done.
Right.
And then that's when I just lift my hands and say, oh no. Oh no. My God is my everything. I don't know who needs to hear this today. But if you've lost a spouse, if you have lost a child, or someone you love, I want to encourage you to fix your focus on God, not what you have lost.
That's right. Very good. Very good. I tell people oftentimes, we hold on too tightly to the things that don't matter and too loosely to the things that do.
You know, when the Lord put on my heart to start tithing, and when I listened, because I was like so afraid, because I had lost my husband. He was the Lord, I'm sorry that I made my husband my idol. You have always been my provider. When I began to tithe and trust God for my provision, my life has changed. My life has so changed. He changes lives, y'all.
Amen.
I encourage you to open your heart today. Fix your focus on the goodness of God. And fight the good fight.
Amen.
Would you end us in prayer?
I will. Father, thank you for this time that we've been able to have today. Remind us in the difficult times to praise you. Remind us in the times of blessing to praise you. Because it doesn't matter what we are going through in life. You're good. You're good all the time. And Lord, we have so much to say thank you for. So Father, if there are those out there who are going through a difficult time, I pray that they will just refocus not upon the difficulty. That doesn't mean they don't deny the difficulty, but they will not keep that focus there. They will keep their focus and put their focus upon you, the provider, and that they will praise you for what you're going to do and what you've done and what you're doing even at the moment. Lord, help us to always recognize that you are the one who is with us and that you will protect us, guide us, and provide for us. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much for that message.
You're welcome.
You always bring good word here. You have been tuned into the Hour of Power this morning, y'all. And I am going to say it again. This is the most powerful hour of my day. From myself, Monica Lovell, from the beautiful Tina Dobbs, and from our handsome pastor, Joe Thompson. Y'all have a blessed weekend, and we'll see you on Monday.
Let us pray, let us pray.
We hope today's edition of the Hour of Power has been encouraging and uplifting for you and your family. If you have a prayer request you would like to send after the program, email us at hourofpower@cableone.net. You're listening to a broadcast produced daily, Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. on therockchristianmusic.com. Download the app. It's called The Rock Christian Music, and take us with you everywhere.